You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Guys, ladies, gentlemen, whoever is listening to this podcast, we finally have some live baseball to talk about. It's unbelievable, right? We finally have an opportunity to sit down, break it all down for you. And we're going to take a closer look at the Yankees' initial summer camp roster, which was released earlier on Sunday afternoon. It's exciting to finally have some kind of roster news. It's kind of weird not having anything since the season's kind of delayed. But in the same token, we're back at it. And I'm sure there's a lot more where this came from. As always, follow us on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND. Follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Search us up on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Available on all podcasting platforms. Apple Podcasts is the big one. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Also, find us on Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. You name it, the show is there available for you. So basically, I already told you what this show is going to be about. And we're going to talk about the Yankees' initial summer camp roster. And for those of you who aren't aware, each team had to submit their roster up to 60 players by a deadline, 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And what this roster entitles is basically the players that the clubs want to pull from during this short and condensed season. And the main goal of this is to build your roster in a way where your lower half of the roster, the guys who aren't with the active roster, serve as your minor league camp. And there's a lot of rules and things that go into it. And we're going to kind of break that down for you as a whole to give you a better idea before we get into the actual Yankees roster, which consists of 58 players as of this current moment. So first and foremost, what is the player pool? And they're going to be at an alternate training site, the players that aren't on the active roster. So let me explain. So each team had to submit their roster pool. And basically, they're players that the club anticipates participating during the season. So essentially what you're looking at is each club had to sit down and say, all right, here's the guys that we think can make an impact on our big league club this year. These are the guys we are going to have on our alternate roster because of the fact they might be called upon to be used. So all 60 spots are very valuable and very important. And based off your team and your team needs, it kind of helps you dictate where you go with that roster. And again, nobody can exceed 60 players. You can go under, you can't go over. If a player is on your 40-man roster, they can be subtracted from it, but they have to be released, obviously. There's a couple of rules that do go into it. And opening day, your roster is going to be 30. It gets dwindled down to 28 after 2 weeks. And then it goes back down to 26 after a month into the season. So it's giving the teams a little bit more flexibility early on, especially given that the pitchers won't necessarily have a full spring training. So it's a little bit of an incentive for teams to hold a couple more guys on their active roster and try to limit the amount of injuries we see early on. But again, the players are reporting on July 1st. They're going to be dictated to as to where they have to go. Most teams will be holding spring training right in their big league camp, and then they'll be using one of their minor league affiliates close by to house the other players. So there are a couple of things that do get into this. Now, you might be asking, teams do have non-roster invitees to spring training, and they're allowed to keep these players on their active roster, their 60-man roster. They are allowed to keep them there, and what it really dictates is the opt-out clauses that the players do have in their contracts, because a lot of the time, you will see that those players do have a little bit of an opt-out date, which will allow them to reevaluate where they stand. They might stay with that club and make the big league roster, but there are cases where they might have a good spring, and they might not have a spot on that team's roster, so they might opt out and look at other opportunities. So basically, you just have to add them to the 60-man and sort out any contract details in that regards, but they are allowed to be on there. The 60 players are not locked. Obviously, guys can be added and subtracted, can be moved to the disabled list, can be moved to the COVID list. It's just a situation where you're looking at it as a whole, and the main thing that you have to remember too, and this is going to dictate the trade market as well, you're only allowed to be traded if you're on that team's 60-man, I'm going to call it a roster, their full roster. That's the only way you can get traded. So let's use an example, and I might get ripped for this because Yankee fans definitely don't want to see this guy get traded. Jason Dominguez, the highly touted 17-year-old prospect, he did not make the Yankee summer camp roster. He cannot be traded. So even if the Yankees decided to trade for Mike Trout today, they could not use him in a deal unless they added him to that summer camp roster. And in turn, any players that are traded must stay on your summer camp roster, or they must stay on that 60-man roster, we'll say. That's a main thing to remember as well. And again, the number of guys don't change, 30 on opening day, down to 26 a month in. And yes, you can include anybody you want from your organization. There's no limit to who teams could keep. You notice that a lot of the teams, and I hate to say this and be rude, but a lot of the teams that don't consider themselves in contention this year are keeping guys such as their first-round picks from this current year on their roster. Why are they doing that? To give them exposure. Keeping prospects with a high ceiling that may be a little bit of ways off from actually breaking into the big leagues, or a guy that they think, you know, he's a young guy, but, you know, maybe we'll give him a shot at the end of the year and see what he's got. We have nothing else to lose. So you do see a couple of teams playing on that line. And yes, there's trades, like I mentioned earlier. August 31st will be the trade deadline. But what I want to do, and we'll do this right before we get into the Yankees talk, is Levi Weaver from The Athletic clarified some really important things in regards to the 60-man roster. So I'm going to read some of them off to you and give you a little bit of an idea. If you want to follow him, you could go to @32EFIS on Twitter. He's a really good follow. First, if a player is not on the 40-man roster, he cannot be removed from the 60-man roster unless he's released, which I mentioned earlier. No surprise there. If a player is on the 40-man roster, he can be removed from the 60-man roster, but he would be exposed to waivers first. So if you have a big-time prospect and you want to take him off that roster, good luck trying to keep him because they're going to get snatched up. If a player tests positive for COVID-19, he could be placed on the special COVID-19 injured list and will no longer count against the 60-man roster and can be replaced on that roster. That's a really interesting concept. So you never want to wish COVID on anybody, but say that somebody does come down with the virus, they could be replaced and there's no real penalty. But here's the clause. When the player comes back, that replacement player is subject to the rules that we already talked about. And unless there is an outbreak where three or more players test positive for the virus, there's a whole lot of different clarifications that go into this. So, and again, it's going to be a matter of how the virus actually breaks down and how many people does it actually affect. And that's going to be where we're going to have to really sit back and look at this and wait, because time will only tell how this is going to be impacted. We're not going to have a clear-cut answer right away. There's no set way that we are going to figure this out until it actually happens. So right now it's a promising sign. The teams are getting their 55 to 60 man rosters available. You still have wiggle room to make some more signings, some more acquisitions, some more moves, add some guys, subtract some guys. There's going to be a lot of things that come into the mix. And I can't wait to see how this plays out. You know, I'm one that loves transactions. I love to see it happen. And this right here is literally all that and more. We're going to see a handful of moves. I really want to see how these teams are going to go about the trade market. You mean to tell me that these teams that are out of the mix or think they're going to be out of the mix and have a top-of-the-line player that's going to hit the free agent market aren't going to explore trade deals for those players, see what they could get right now? Maybe they'll wait till the offseason if they have another year or two of control on them. But it might open up the trade market early. We might wait, and it might take a little while for it to really unfold. And we're not going to get those answers until these teams start to report to camp and see what they have. And so it will be a nice little spin that we're going to see with this. And I think that it will add a little dimension to what we're used to seeing from these teams, because right now would be the time where everything starts to kind of unfold in the trade market. Yeah, you don't see trades till July, but we're in the end of June. Here's where teams are really identifying themselves as winners or losers or in it or out of it. So there's a lot that does come into play here. Now, the Yankees invited 58 guys to camp, like I mentioned earlier. Nothing really surprising, but they did make some moves prior to making that announcement today. So the first move, and this was an obvious, was Luis Severino goes to the 60-day injured list. We're not going to see Severino. He had Tommy John surgery on February 27th. There's no chance we're going to get him this year. But the Yankees did make a few minor league signings. First and foremost, they released Dan Otero from his deal, re-signed him to a minor league contract. He is on the 58-man roster. And then they added two other guys. They added catcher Max McDowell as another backstop. And then they signed Matt Duffy. And yeah, that's the Matt Duffy that we saw with the San Francisco Giants and the Tampa Bay Rays. And Duffy's an interesting player here for me. And I just think that he might be a guy that can factor in to the Yankees' overall kind of mix. You know, at 29 years old, a guy who's very versatile in the field. If you look at his numbers, and yeah, he's only had two full seasons in the bigs. He's not a bad ball player. Let's take you back to 2015. Hit .295, over 149 games for the Giants. A 12 homer, 77 RBIs. Had a decent OBP, decent slugging. And then you go back to 2018 with the Rays. He hit .294. He only had four homers, but he was a productive piece for the Rays. And they're always looking for guys that they could get on the low and kind of keep around. So, yeah, he hasn't had the longevity in terms of his career. But if you look at his five-year span in the bigs over 450 games, the numbers aren't bad. This is definitely not a bad move for the Yankees. And you could be saying to yourself, you know, they have a lot of depth in regards to infield. But you can never have too much depth. And in this kind of situation, holding a guy like Duffy on your kind of, I don't want to call it a B squad, but it is essentially your B squad, definitely doesn't hurt. So I think it's a low risk, high reward type of signing for the Yankees. Other than those moves, and you'll see it as we go through it, there really isn't many surprises to this roster as you would see some other teams have. You know, the Yankees have a lot of depth. So I think that if you're somebody who watches them on a regular basis, you can kind of pinpoint who is going to be on the roster and not really have to think twice about it. So adding McDowell and Duffy, they were probably the two biggest surprises in my eyes in regards to this. And we're going to break it down by position here. First and foremost, Yankees kept six catchers. Obviously, the two that you stand out are Sanchez and Higashioka. During spring, you remember they brought in Chris Iannetta, Eric Kratz, and Josh Stoll, three veteran guys who will definitely help catch the guys on the B squad, will be there for insurance in case Sanchez goes down or even Higgy goes down. And then you add McDowell. So the amount of backstops shouldn't be surprising. It's good to have the extra depth. Expect, obviously, unless something drastic happens, an injury occurs, Sanchez and Higashioka on the opening day roster. Then this is where the Yankees got a little cute here. And we'll break it down for you. The Yankees had three different position player positions, other than not including catcher. They had your regular infielders, you had your outfielders, and then they had a little section labeled infielders/outfielders. Yes, infielders/outfielders. So the guys that are versatile, they put in both. Infielders, they kept eight. So obviously Duffy, we mentioned. Thairo Estrada, a guy who you can make the case deserve the spot. He's there. Mike Ford, he could arguably be on that opening day roster. Kyle Holder, a fast shortstop middle infield type of prospect, a guy who hasn't shown the ability to really hit for much average, but a guy the Yankees seem very high on. And then your obvious choices, you got LeMahieu, Torres, Urshela, and Voit. No surprises there. They keep a guy like Holder in the mix, Estrada in the mix, Duffy, guys with versatility and experience. Then your outfielders, once again, the Yankees kept eight. You got your obviouses. You got your Gardner, Hicks, Judge, Stanton, Tauchman. That's your five. The other three, Estevan Florial, a highly touted prospect. He gets his chance. Hey, who knows? They might have to use him this year. Clint Frazier, another one. He's a guy that has shown the ability to hit the big league level, but just can't seem to stick. And Zach Granite, a guy who the Yankees acquired. He seems like a guy that a lot of people seem very high on. I hate to use the same word again, but they do. They seem high on this kid. They think he's got a lot of potential, so he makes the roster as another outfielder. It's all going to come down to the health of Judge and Stanton and Hicks. Stanton, they say, is healthy, but who knows? Hicks is coming off Tommy John surgery. Is he ready for opening day? And the big question mark, we talked about it last show, Aaron Judge. What the heck's going on with the big fellow and right? We need some answers here, and we haven't gotten any yet. And then, if you can name two of the three guys that I haven't mentioned yet, I'll give you a follow on Twitter. Hit us up. Let us know if you got the two guys that you might have missed in the infield and outfield section, but are included in this infielder slash outfielder's projection. And those guys, we'll name Rossell Herrera first. He's the first. Then you have Miguel Andujar and Tyler Wade. It's a rather interesting note that the Yankees list Andujar as a possible outfielder because I expect to see him get some reps in the outfield to get him some at-bats. And Wade's a guy we saw in the outfield last year, a guy who's going to be good defensively wherever you put him, a guy with a lot of speed. He's going to make the opening day roster, obviously, because of his speed and what he brings versatility-wise. But it was really interesting to see how they listed him as both infielders and outfielders when they could have listed them both as just infielders. I guess they want to keep the versatility there and show the world they're not kidding about playing Andujar in left field a little bit, maybe even right field. So that would be a nice, interesting spin to it as well. And finally, we get to the pitchers. And the Yankees kept 33 of them. Yeah, 33 is a high number. It's a big number. But on a roster where you have 60 and you have 58 currently, 33 seems like a good number. Because let's face it, number one, the Yankees go through pitching like water. They like to mix and match. They like to use guys. And in a shortened season, they're going to need bodies. And they're going to need fresh arms. So the number of pitchers, definitely not surprising. Was there anybody really surprising on this list to me? Obviously, Gerrit Cole. Who would have thought that guy would have made the roster? Just kidding on that one. You know I'm kidding. Calm down. Don't throw anything at your screen or your phone. I was just kidding. But the obviouses are there. You have your Zach Britton. Luis Sessa, a guy who is out of options. The Yankees don't want to lose him, it seems like. Aroldis Chapman, Gerrit Cole, Chad Green. You could throw David Hale in there. They like that guy. Jay Happ. Jonathan Holder, Tommy Canley, Jonathan Loaisiga, a guy who I think would factor in better in the bullpen. I don't know. I just think that over time, he has electric stuff and could definitely be like a Dellin Betances type of guy out of the bullpen. Not saying that they're the same pitcher, but I could definitely see that being a nice fit for him. Jordan Montgomery, the guy who I think is the fifth starter on this team, a guy coming off Tommy John surgery, showed some promise in his first stint with the Yankees before the injury. I think that he's a guy that could definitely make some noise in the fifth spot, especially with the Yankees offense. There's a chance this guy could win a lot of games. Adam Ottavino, James Paxton, Masahiro Tanaka. Those are the guys that really are obviouses, you know. If you look at opening day, you're expecting those guys to be in the mix for one or more of those spots, you know. Those are the guys that they're obviously there. So that's not a surprise. In terms of pitching prospects, Albert Abreu and Domingo Acevedo made the roster, the 60-man. They should get another look. I don't know if they're used right away, but those are some electric arms that the Yankees have high hopes for. Then you go to Davey Garcia. We know about Garcia. We're waiting for him to make his Yankees debut. We're waiting for that. I doubt it's going to happen right away, but he's there. He's going to gain that experience. The Yankees want him to keep learning. Ben Heller, another guy. If you read my article on the Bronx Pinstripes website, I had Heller being the final piece in the bullpen. I think the Yankees are really, really sold on him being a good piece out of the pen. He's a guy that should get a really good extended look when we get back to action early in July. Michael King, a lot of people say Garcia is the guy, but to me, King is the Yankees' best pitching prospect. I just think that He's got the stuff. He's got the size. He just screams future starting pitcher in the big leagues to me. I like Garcia, but I love Michael King. Then you have Luis Medina, another guy I've seen a lot of, has some good stuff. Nick Nelson, Adonis Rosas, Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt's another guy. If you play MLB The Show, you got a little taste of him if you completed the Yankees affinity. He's a guy that has a good four-pitch mix, and they project him as a starter as well. And then you have a bunch of guys that, and I was reading from Baseball America because I love to read up on some of the guys, the pitching prospects that you don't really know so much about. But it seems like the Yankees had a trend. A lot of these guys are hard-throwing right-handers. They had a couple of lefties in the mix, I guess, to give them a little versatility in case a guy like Britton or Chapman goes down to add to the pen. But there's no real surprises overall in this roster. And if you think there are some surprises or somebody that you think should have been put on the roster, let us know. Hit us up on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. You sit back and you read social media and you see everybody saying, you know, I want to see Jason Dominguez on the roster. I want to see Anthony Volpe from Del Barton, New Jersey guy. But is it really worth giving them a spot when they're obviously not ready for the big leagues? Like, yeah, Dominguez gets comparisons to Trout and Mickey Mantle and you name it, he's compared to him. But is he really, really ready for that? And yeah, a lot of teams are opting to give some of these promising prospects a chance. But with the Yankees' injury history, every spot on that roster is going to mean something. Every spot on that roster is going to be important for them. So they're not in a position where they could really play around with some of their prospects. And unfortunately, they're up for a World Series title. So I don't think anybody's going to complain about who they picked for this roster. When they sat down, and I'm sure Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, all the coaching staff, the you name it, I'm sure they were in on it. When they were constructing this 55 to 60 man project, and I'm going to call it a project because it's not done yet, they were thinking, we are competing for a World Series championship in 2020. As we go to compete for that World Series title, we need the best players available at our disposal in order to do that. If player X goes down tomorrow, we need player Y to be ready to go. And they were constructing this roster, taking the best available talent they had and the best available players that they could put into the mix. And that's essentially what happened here. And that's why there's no surprises. The good teams don't have surprises on these rosters. Yeah, a Baltimore Orioles or a Miami Marlins or a Detroit Tigers, teams that really aren't going to be in the mix unless something drastic happens, can play around with that. They could have the opportunity to say, you know what? We just drafted this kid. We're going to give him a look. Or this guy's been in our system for only 1 to 2 years, but heck, who knows? If we fall out of it, what would it hurt to give him a chance to play at the big league level? See what he's got. So every team is different. But the Yankees are in that win now mode, so there's no fooling around in the Bronx. And I'm sure it's going to change. I'm sure guys are going to be added and subtracted. And I'm sure that even though they're limited to just 60 players, I'm sure the Yankees have told players, probably up to 100 to 120 players, you know, be ready. You never know what's going to happen. Be ready. And for the minor leaguers, it stinks. You know, you lose your season. You don't have an opportunity to play. You don't have an opportunity to get better. You lose a very important year in your development. Maybe not in New York because of the depth, but you might be a piece that teams look at and say, we like him. We want to trade for him. He's a guy that could fit our needs in down the road. So yeah, there's a lot that you can lose from it. I know a couple of buddies throughout the game that I know from high school and whatnot that unfortunately didn't make their team's 60-man roster. But I'm sure those guys are going to keep competing and do what they can to stay in shape and stay healthy in case they're needed. Because there's going to be a lot of moves. You never know what's going to happen with the virus. Do people come down with the virus? One injury, and then I want everybody to think about this too, is if you have an injury and you get put on the 10-day injured list, that's 1/6 of your season. Think about that. That's 1/6 of your regular season. Injuries could play a huge factor here. You don't have a lot of time to prepare, obviously. We don't have a lot of time to get ready. And there's doctors who are out there saying that Tommy John's surgeries are going to happen like flies. Guys are going to keep getting hurt. And we already have a trend of it in the game. So there's a lot of a dynamic here. And I'm excited to see how it plays out. I just hope we have a healthy season for everybody, not just the Yankees. I mean personal health. I hope the virus does start to subside and everybody starts getting healthy, both baseball players and in the world. And I hope we could get back to some kind of norm. But in the meantime, I hope that the players are able to stay healthy, the coaches, the staff, anybody involved can stay healthy, and we could get the ball rolling and keep a season where we could get some type of baseball. So this is exciting. We finally got some transactions to talk about, and as always, as more Yankee news and rumors and anything comes along, this is your place to go to hear about it and talk about it. Again, we thank you all for listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast powered by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Pinstripe Talk ND. Follow my personal account at Nick_Delahanty. Find us on Facebook, search up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Our podcast available on all podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, you name it, shows there available for you. Until the next time we talk, this has been 2 shows in 1 week, so you know baseball is right around the corner. July 1st, can't wait for the Yankees to report to Yankee Stadium, get the ball rolling. And as that happens, we're going to continue to produce more content for you to listen in. So keep joining in on our conversation. As always, we love talking Yankees baseball. We hope that you eventually and decide to tune in and join in on our conversation. Once again, my name is Nick Delahanty, and this is the Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We'll catch you very soon.